Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I have been so much into Bond. I'm up, phew, it's like 27 movies. I think I'm about 16 through the whole series. I still got a ways to go, but man, I have been having a good time. Not watching them in any kind of order. Basically, the strategy is watching everything that's possible to me in streaming in whatever order. And then I have a few DVDs that somebody lent me. Unfortunately, some of them are in 4K, so I can't play them, but I do have some DVDs. I can at least watch GoldenEye, and what else do I have here? Oh, Dr. No. And the rest I've seen. Oh, The Man with the Golden Gun I haven't seen, so I'm looking forward to checking those out for sure. And then I'll decide whether I buy them digitally. I know it sucks because I want to watch them all because I'm on this spurt and I don't think I want to wait. And digital, kind of like, you're spending $11 or so on a digital purchase when I could buy the whole fucking set. But then it's like I have all this physical media, no space. So, and when will I pop in a DVD to watch it? But if I buy it digitally, I can watch it whenever I want, at least the ones that I have left. But I thought for kicks, I would go over some of the recent purchases I've got. This was from a Twitter auction. I got a limited collector's edition C43, Christmas with the Superheroes. Interesting cover because it has Superman carrying a sleigh with Batman in it, Santa Claus, Wonder Woman, God, what are the two brothers, but House of Mystery, Cain and Abel. So this is Abel, and then no, it's not Abel, it's Cain, sorry. Abel is the heavy set one. And then it's got Sandman and his sidekick. I can't remember what. Sandy. So that is an unusual reprint for sure. I'm gonna have to dip into that one. I got a Katie Keene Pin-Up Parade, Archie number 12, Giant Series. That's a thick sucker. I got Archie number 82. That was a good pickup. It's got a Reggie saying, "I don't get it. I just hit a home run and Veronica never looked at me." And Betty's saying, "You may have hit the homer, but it's Archie who scores with Veronica." We got some Felix the Cat. I got from Felix Comics Incorporated, The Adventures of Felix the Cat number one. 225 covers, so this probably came after this one. I have a Harvey Classics Collector's First Big Issue Felix the Cat number one. I have a Golden Age book here, Prize Mystery, All New Stories. I don't know what that is, but should be fun digging into. Here's another one I don't know what it is. Suspense Detective number three, 10 cents. Popular comics. I have heard of this. This was Dell. I think I have one or two of these. This is an interesting one. We got Fantastic Adventures from Super Comics. This looks really cool art cover. A sub is underwater and there's some fighting going on underwater with some guys in scuba gear. Strange Planets number 12. Another Super Comics, 12 Center. Those are probably Silver Age. Charlton, I did get Midnight Tales number one. This one I already had a copy. This is a much nicer copy. The reason I pulled the trigger on this one, because when you're on a Twitter auction, sometimes it's just easier to type all than to go look at what you have in the database. if you want to win. We got The Adventures of Jerry Lewis, number 104. Anytime there's a Jerry Lewis or Bob Hope, I jump on it. We got DC Special presents The Strangest Sports Stories Ever Told, number 9. We got Giant Size Flash 80-Pager Annual. I think this is Flash Annual number 1. That one I have another copy of. This one's a little beat up compared to the one I already have. We got a Metal Man number 39. I'd sure like to complete that series at some point. Our Army at War number 205. Probably never complete that one, but get as many as I can. From Harvey Comics, we got Tom and Jerry first issue. From Harvey Comics, I got Woody Woodpecker first issue. They launched heavily in the, I don't remember what year it was, but they launched a lot of number ones. You got Harvey Classic Spooky, the tough little ghost. Dollar cover price. You know, these were dollar, $1.25. This one, I don't know who published this. It might be Disney, but Welcome to Roger Rabbit's Toontown, first issue. Nightmare on Elm Street, Innovation, number one. The Adventures of Bob Hope, number 107. Challengers of the Unknown, number 76. Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love, number 4. I try to pick these up when I get a chance. This one is beat to shit. It says VG on the cover, but man, does that look G. Totally discolored. It looks like really bad shape, but at least I have it. Adam Strange or Strange Adventures, number 219, featuring Adam Strange. That's like looks like a yeah, it is a Joe Kubert cover. Then I got another Joe Kubert cover with Adam Strange on it. It's Strange Adventures number 220. Super Friends number 31. I'm getting close on that series. Batlash number 3. Secret Six number 3, 4, 6, and 7. That was the original Secret Six, not the Gail Simone. This one was neat. This is a 15-center World's Finest Comics, number 61. We have Anthro, 1 through 6. So that's cool. I think that's the full series, to tell you the truth. Fantasy Masterpieces number 3. These are reprints. Tomb of Dracula number 3. I got a long way on that series while I finished all the Living Mummy stuff and Werewolf by Night and Ghost Rider and Frankenstein's Monster. I still have to work on Dracula, which is the most successful of the bunch. I got a spectacular Spider-Man graphic novel. It's like magazine size. I've seen this as a kid when it came out, but I never got it. Journey into Mystery. I can't read the number what this one is, but this is a 10 center. And I think the. Let's see which it is. If I can see. Why can't I see the number? That's interesting. It's really not on the cover. Oh, 75. That's what it is. We have Sergeant Fury in the Howling Commandos, number 15, 36, 68, and 81. This is an interesting one because I never cared about Howling Commandos, but just over the course of this year, I probably have 40% of the collection. Strange Adventures 149. My goal is to get from all of the Strange Adventures from Doctor Strange forward. Not including the stuff that was monsterish before that. And then I got 4 issues of Prince Namor the Submariner, number 7, 17, 29, and 62. I think that puts me within 4 issues of completing Submariner. And I have the hard one, so it's just doing the job. I also got the first appearance of the Brady Bunch, which I'm really happy about. I got Care Bears number 2 from Star Comics, Top Dog number 1. I've read most of Top Dog on the app. I like that one a lot. But this is probably my third issue that I have of it. When Star Comics came out, I didn't really care. Like, I was like, those are kiddie books. I don't care about them. But now I care pretty much about every comic. So, Planetary number 1. Ewoks number 1, 5, and 13. You got Alf number 1. Jim Henson's Muppet Babies number 1. The Get Along Gang number 1. Strawberry Shortcake number 2. And Dino Riders number 1. Also, Kid and Play number 1. Don't mess with me, man. I'm jamming, slamming the first issue. All right. So those are recent purchases. I also got the first appearance of the Tasmanian Devil and Tasmanian Devil number 1. And some more grips. So if you've been listening to this podcast, you're well aware of my love of grips. And I finished volume 1. I've read all of it. I think that went into Greater Mercury Comics had Grips, and I read all of that. Not all of it was Grips. They had, it was like an anthology book, but it had Grips in it. And then this is Grips Volume 2. So once I finish that, I'll have to get the Adventures of Grips, and then I'll be complete, but I'm working on it. So that takes me to the recent purchases, or not recent back issue purchases. I then thought I would cover some. I'm currently bidding on Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies Comics number 91. So number 1 is a scarce issue. There's supposedly only 200 copies in existence, but that's the first appearance of most of the Looney Tune characters. But this one, 91, is the first appearance of Coyote. And I'm going pretty high on it because I really want it. But I'm pretty sure somebody's going to outbid me sooner or later. Let me refresh the screen and see if I could see what the counter is. It ends in 2 hours and 32 minutes. So we'll see if I have the first appearance of Wile E. Coyote, which would be really cool to add to the collection. I already talked about the first appearance of Rocky and Bullwinkle, I think, on the last episode. And I got another shipment of comics coming in from my comic shop, hopefully today. So I do want to get to some listener questions. Probably should go to Drew's because he sent me mail, and I pay a lot for this fucking email account since Google made business accounts out of most of their email people. So mine is like comicbooknoise.com. So it's I'm paying pretty good because I'm paying for four of us, and it's pretty expensive, if you ask me, per month. But let me see if I can find Drew's email here. Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit, good friend of mine, has a few questions. One, I was talking about Batman's softer fatherly side in Batman and Robin with my brother recently. You prefer your Batman, Dor and Hermie, or do you like the kinder, gentler Bruce? I think he means dark and Hermie. Like, what is it? Rorschach. What does he do that? Like, Herm. what is your favorite characterization of Bruce Batman? That's a tough one because I like him as a father for sure to Damian. It adds an interesting X aspect, but when you look at the course of the Robins, he's treated them sort of like sons. He's shafted some of them at some point. Like when he got his back broken, you think the logical choice were Dick, Dick be the next Batman. But no, he had to go get Select Azrael. Crazy motherfucker. So I don't know like what goes through his mind. But he's got plans even to defeat himself. So he's an oddball. Bruce, I used to like him. God, my favorite Bruce incarnation is when he had the love interest with the white hair. But I can't think of her name now. Let's see, Bruce Wayne comic love interests. She's gonna show up. Matter of fact, the Kevin Smith book, I think, had her last in it. Who is the first love? I don't want to know that. Batman's love interest. Let's see if they have the woman that I'm thinking of. It's not Vicky Vale, that's for sure. Selina Kyle's obviously the most popular. Minor love interests. Let's see if she's in that. Ooh, Black Canary's in there. Jezebel Jett was interesting. Julia Pennyworth. Lois Lane. Huh. Nocturna was pretty interesting. That was a good one. That was Jason Todd's mom, kind of like that vampire chick that said it was kind of like her mom. Silver St. Cloud. That who's who I like the Bruce that was with her. I really liked her. She is my favorite, but there's some interesting ones in this list. Especially Wonder Woman was there, Zatanna, Vesper Fairchild, I remember her. Chandra Consolving. That was the woman that was taking care of him when his back was broken. Sasha Bordeaux was his bodyguard. There's been some really good ones. Rachel Caspian, I don't remember. Pamela Isley, Natalia Truicevich. Damian's mom, obviously. Ghoul. Talia. Natalia Knight Nocturna, that's the one. Mallory Maxson. But yeah, I do like him as a father figure. It could be really interesting if they explore that, if Damien, if they decide to age him. I always think Damien has a dark side to him, though, that he is going to turn to the dark side. He's like that son, But yeah, that was a good question. But I guess I preferred my Bruce when he was in that love interest with Silver St. Cloud. That's when I preferred him as Bruce. But you don't see too many Bruce, like around. And he's usually when he's I like when he banters with Alfred as Alfred is his father figure. I love that. Let's see what else you got. How do you feel about anthologies? You tend to skip or read or skip any favorites? I like them sometimes, but sometimes the longer they are, the less I connect with the majority of stories. I like anthologies because a lot of times the only time to see the very obscure characters is in an anthology, like a DC or a Marvel anthology, and I'm okay with that. The ones I like the most are the Antarctic Press, Jungle Comics, Planet Comics, Exciting Comics, Fantasy Comics, and Horror Comics. I love those anthologies. They're always, I always, sometimes I'll get a story I don't care for, but the majority of time they're 80% to 85% on. Like, and when they do like a ongoing like set of stories that continue for many issues within that anthology, which is just one story, that's when it's the best. That's when I really get into all of it. The Playboy anthology, that was 100% every story I liked. Really good. Oh, not Playboy, it's Penthouse Comics, the new volume. I liked every story, and it wasn't filthy either, at least in my eyes. It was, after reading Faust and Spunky Knight and Elizabeth Bathory, it's so tame. But I would recommend, if you can see it in the house and your wife won't kill you, Penthouse Comics. I don't know how you feel about Jungle, but if you like Jungle stories, man, Jungle's top notch. That's my favorite of the bunch. I think Bill's favorite is Planet Comics. That one sometimes has stories I really love, like the stuff that's ongoing is really good, but sometimes they're short, done in ones or not. So I don't know. Fantasy has just been one story right now, even though it looks like an anthology, it's not really one. Horror Comics is sometimes you'll get like eight stories in the anthology, sometimes you get three, and sometimes you'll get like a four-parter that's just one story. So that's interesting. Exciting Comics always has two to four, mostly three. Three to four is usually where it's usually at. And the DC ones, the ones they do on quarterly, those are, I could take them or leave them. I mean, they're there and I read them, and do I get anything out of them? Not really. There might be two stories I really like, and the other ones I like going through. I don't ever skip a story though, ever. It has to be a super something not clicking with me. I think there is only like two comics I ever stopped reading, and it was mostly because they weren't comics. They look like a comic, they feel like a comic. You turn the page and it's prose, and I'm like, I'm not reading that. But there's been a couple. Between Beneath the Trees, Animal Pound, and Animal Castle, I'm loving the anthropomorphic comics these days. You enjoy animal comics too, or tend to pass on them? I tend to pass on them if it's not Ninja Turtles. I mean, they're anthropomorphic. I do read Animal Castle. I like that. That's like Orson Welles' Animal Farm. Animal Pound, I haven't read yet. Beneath the Trees, I stayed away from for that sole reason. So I'll dig into them, but if it's, what was the other one I read that was pretty good? Oh, it was from Blood Moon Comics, Hexpaw. This guy is like a part Black Panther. cat person, but yeah, that I know Bill Bomer loves that stuff. Like he'll read that stuff all the time. I'll jump in here and there. I've always wanted to try an Omaha Cat Dancer one, but I haven't run into a copy yet, believe it or not. He says, "You and I both enjoy crime comics. Damn right, I love them. Can you recommend any I have missed during my comic hiatus?" Oh God, it's that David Laugham one for sure. What was that one called? That one ran a long time. Oh man, I'll have to look at this. David Laugham has done a couple. David Laugham. This is really incredible one. Crime comics. Stray Bullets. That's the one I'd recommend definitely to read. He's got a new one that's coming out with his wife on with Boom. I haven't read it yet. There was a crime comic from Acclaim. Acclaim Comics, Acclaim Crime Comics. These were all really good. They didn't last long, but let me see what they were. These aren't crime comics. I want to know what the crime ones are. I think one of them was Grave Digger. That's a good one. This is not a good site for that. I want to know. Armed and Dangerous. That was really good. Grackle. That was another one that was really good. So Armed and Dangerous and Grackle would be the ones that I'd recommend. Also, the early Bloodshots, he was kind of like a mafia type guy, but I wouldn't really call it a crime comic. But Armed and Dangerous is really good, and so is Grackle. So those are a couple I would mention. Those are Acclaim, Valiant slash Acclaim. They actually had a hard case crime line there for a while. Yeah, those are some that I would recommend. Grave Digger, that's a good one. So those are a couple to keep you busy for sure. If you want to dig the Acclaim ones, you could find for cheap, but you might not be able to find them just because nobody was buying them. So they're really low print runs. But they are interesting. You could find them at my comic shop if you really wanted to. Stray Bullets is really long running. These are good questions. Between DC's Flatline and Marvel's Jackpot, we've had some interesting new characters recently. Who are some of your favorite new characters created in recent years? Recent years. I like the new Joker's daughter. I thought she was interesting. She had like the skin of Joker's face on his face. I thought that was cool. Punchline has been really interesting. A lot of the Tinian Ghostmaker. A lot of the characters that Tinian was just creating left and right, I found really good to in the Batman comics. Marvel has so many Spider-Man incarnations, but I can't point out really which one. I liked the Valkyrie Venom. There was in Venomverse, there was a if you know Valkyrie, the you might know her from the movies because she's in the Thor movies, but Valkyrie is a defender. And And they had a Valkyrie character that was really cool. Flatline's really cool. Jackpot has been around. That's Mary Jane. Yeah, it's an interesting question. A lot of the characters now that they're creating are derivatives too, like a new version of this character, a new version of, you could think of Spider-Verse, a new offset of Wolverine, like Helverine, a cross between Ghost Rider and Wolverine. He's getting his own series. So yeah, some of them are taking off, and others they kind of take off and then die on the vine eventually. I liked all the new characters that got bit by the alien in the Bloodline, especially Hitman. God, I love those characters, but those were not recent. They put out a bunch of them, and they were all very interesting to me. The derivatives that came out of the Spider-Man, when I can't remember if he was like sidelined, but they were called the Slingers. It had Hornet and a couple other, Ricochet and a bunch of others. That was interesting. Man, there's so many. Seems like characters pop out. Rob Liefeld was talking about this recently, and he was saying that Marvel doesn't like all the time to create new characters because then they have to pay for them, but they don't have to pay for derivatives. So if you come up with Spider-Boy, they're not paying anybody to invent Spider-Boy because it's a derivative of Spider-Man. If they do Lady Deadpool like he created, they don't pay him for Lady Deadpool because she's a derivative of Deadpool. Same with Dogpool and all that stuff. So that's kind of interesting how payments work if your character that is successful. The big time payments happened in the 90s when they were really paying creators for, like, Rob Liefeld made a fortune off of Deadpool and Cable, and he's still making money off of them because he wrote his contract right. But you look prior to those Image creators, and they didn't get squat. And I think Venom falls into that, and Todd McFarlane didn't create a lot of characters at Marvel to make bank on it because, Venom is in there, but Venom was a derivative because it came from Spider-Man and Secret Wars, and then the symbiote moved off into Eddie Brock, and that's when Venom was really formed. So, yeah, it's very fascinating to me. I think these questions were really good, and then I'll cut into another question from Dallow. He sent me a couple, so let me see what I have from him recently. I posted a couple things in my memories because I wanted to make sure I could get them. For some reason, I wanted Grub Girl from Verotic. Question: how many series do you read simultaneously? I think I answered this last time. And I said around 8 or 9, and I think that's probably the same as you, 'cause I do read some month to month, and then I read some like in a pile, and but I don't sit there and like read a lot of trades or collected editions. But I'll sit there and read the last 5 issues of G.I. Joe or Duke, stuff like that, or Transformers. So let me unbookmark that one. He says some books are on the way from Valiant, Alien, any grab your interest. They all do. I am so excited that they're publishing books again. I love Valiant. I've loved every incarnation, the Acclaim, the Beginnings, the I've been there for it all. And yes, there's varying degrees of like, but if I look at it as a sum of a whole, I love them. So yeah, we got the Valiants. I'm excited about that. Excited about Bloodshot Unleashed. I pulled the first one out so I could read it. Faith, when she's written well, I like her, but I like her more as the team Harbinger than I like her as a solo person. Rye, the Book of Dark. Oh, I love the Darks. And then you're at it with Rye. Exo Manowar Evictus. That one should be good. Becky Cloonan's back, and Michael Conrad, and they wrote the last one and thought it was great. So that had Liam Sharp art. So yeah, I'm looking forward to all of those. Aaron Bell asked the top five X-Men events. That's a tough one because I am the least X-Men knowledgeable person on the planet, I think, even though I almost have a full run of the whole fucking thing. And I've read most of it. Let's see. I like that Hope, like the whole Hope thing that people didn't like, that whole Hope journey, whatever that event was. I remember they were killing teleporters too, during that event. I don't remember what it's called, but the whole Hope thing when she was young and they were trying to find out who she really was, I really liked that event. I don't know what most people thought of it, but I would say they didn't like it. I liked Age of Apocalypse, but I wasn't like enamored by it. But I'll put that one there. The House of X, Powers of X, I would definitely put there. That had my interest. I wish he would have stayed with stuff more often than let others take about. Some of it rolled with it really well, and some didn't, in my opinion. But when it came out, it invigorated my I was excited to read X-Men again. Let's see what else. What events? They recently had that Sinister event. It wasn't too crazy. I love the way it started. I didn't care for how it finished. Sword of X? No, I wouldn't put it on there. The Death of Jean Grey? That was a good event, even though it wasn't really a event that crossed multiple titles. Inferno, that was a good one. I like that. So I'll put Inferno on that list. Let me see if there's let me just see if I'm missing any that X-Men events. So I mentioned Age of Apocalypse, House of M was okay, as the No More Mutants. Want the Inferno. Yep, there, that's there. Yeah, this one's like all events, and I just want the X-Men events. The Trial of Jean Grey, that was a good one. There's a bunch of Avengers. Maybe I'm getting X-Men. The Dark Phoenix saga, that was definitely there. So Dark Phoenix, Inferno, Mutant Massacre, I like that one a lot. House of X Power X XL count as one, so that's four. And I'll go with Executioner song. I like that one a lot. Oh, and I forgot the Hope one. Let me see if that one's in here so I could let you know what that X-Men event with Hope. I know a lot of people didn't like it. That was Avengers versus X-Men. Wonder if there was another one. Second Coming. That is the one that I like. So you could take out any one of them and put in Second Coming, and I liked that. I also liked Necrosha. That was good. The Black Queen and Hellfire. I like a lot of stuff that other people don't like, and I think it's because my bond with the X-Men came very late in life. I think it was like the 2000s, man. That before then, I'd stay away from them like the plague. The whole Cable thing and Hope, that's what got me to really like it a lot. And then from that point on, I started getting it. Man, I got winded bringing all those boxes in. Man, it was my comic shop order, and then it was another comic. I don't know what it is, and then something for my wife. So it's two boxes, one envelope, and something for my wife. And I paused this and got winded. I'm so out of fucking shape. Well, my allergies are not helping at all, at all. They've been bad, and I'm finally getting over them. Like, there was a couple days, like last week, I didn't want to record because my allergies were so bad. Whew. Had to get some water. So, let me go back to the bookmarks and unbookmark Aaron Bell from Nerdy Legion fame. Pod faded, but he was good at it. I'll do these quick takes from Kirk. He says, "Whatever happened to that nerdy guy who loved war comics on your show?" That's himself. He's referring to himself. So Kirk recorded with us on the DC Everything Else podcast. That kind of faded because of me. Well, for one thing, it was hard to get everybody together. There are four of us, and sometimes it was just near impossible. And my time to record is Sunday. That's really my time. And Sunday clashes with Kirk because of church day, unless I went to Sunday night. And Sunday night is still reserved for DC Spotlight if I could ever get it going again. But man, I'm getting spoiled of not recording on Sunday nights. But that's where Kirk's always invited to record with us on Geek Brunch Retro. But he goes to church to pray for our souls. So. You had a question. Do you remember when Whataburger had their own superheroes, Wada Guy and Attaboy? Can you use your comic book powers to convince Whataburger to bring them back? You know what? I don't remember. I remember there was a Burger Chef and Jeff back in the day where I used to get these cool superhero glasses that they would put out. They'd have Marvel characters or DC characters on them. And it was a burger joint. Whataburger, I don't remember. Big Boy Comics, I do remember. That was a sit-down place to eat more than a fast food restaurant. I don't remember any. Well, in Albuquerque, very seldom We had like one or two Whataburgers growing up, but they were always like downtown, and I never went down that way. So I never got to get like a Whataburger by my house, where that's where I would go. And when you're in Albuquerque, there's Bob's Burgers, and once you've gone to Bob's, you kind of like say, heck with every other fast food joint, I'm gonna go to Bob's. Do you plan to attend Shere Con in the future? No, but I know you do. You're a big fan of his. I don't plan on going unless you're gonna buy me tickets. So the next question is, what he has a picture of his wife holding some art. And I did meet his wife at Heroes Con. Was it last year? I think it was last year. Maybe it was the year before. But she supports his hobby. I don't know how much she supports it. He always makes jokes about it, but there's no way in hell he could hide the sheer volume of stuff that he has from her. So she's got to be in on it. But what do you consider? What do you consider Sergeant Rock's first appearance? The one that Overstreet considers his first appearance. Not the prototype, if that makes any sense, because there was a Rock prototype, just like there was a Iron Man prototype and a Doctor Strange prototype. I think there was a Rock prototype. Mary Hart or Lisa Gibbons? I don't even know who these two are, so I miss this jazzercise thing that you have as a gift. Mary Hart, though, wasn't she with Regis Philbin on a talk show at one point? And then you have an incredible art piece, though. This one I love. I don't know where it came from. But if you listen to this podcast, you'll have to let me know where this came from. It has Roadrunner. We're talking about how I'm trying to win the first appearance of Coyote. But this has Roadrunner pushing a ice cream cart, and he Roadrunner is carrying with his wing ice cream cone that has a spring in it, and it's hitting Coyote in the face with the ice cream. It's brilliant. I love it. Did you root for Roadrunner or Coyote? I'm a Coyote guy. 100%. I rooted for Coyote. He never wins, but even when he was with that dog, that sheepdog, the coyote, I would root for Coyote all the time. They'd go punch their cards in, and then he'd try to eat the sheep, and the sheepdog was protecting the sheep. Coyote always lost. He always loses. But I always rooted for Coyote. But these cartoons are just so great. And you don't see them too often. I don't know if it's because of the violence or what. But it was great growing up with them for sure. I think that's it from Kirk. So I answered a Dallow que I'll do one more Dallow question. In terms of reading enjoyment, rank in the order of preferred format: trade paperback, floppy, omnibus, magazine size, digital. Okay. Floppy is my preferred format. The second one I would say is omnibus. I like those a lot. Third would be trade paperback. Fourth would be magazine size, and fifth would be digital. I like physical stuff still over that. I do like, if you were to ask the question, what is the most convenient? It's digital. You just pull it up and you pull it up like, and watch it or read it. It's kind of my favorite. In the middle of the night, for sure. So if you ask me what is your preferred format in the middle of the night, it's digital. But floppy, omnibus, trade, magazine, digital. That's my order for physical. mostly physical, I prefer. So now I can go through this and I'm not gonna book. I'm gonna ask him about that one, about the commission there, because I love it. So thank you, Kirk. Thank you, Dallow. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you. Where am I? Who did I forget? Oh, Drew. Sorry, Drew. I'm getting old. You were the first one, so it went in the queue, and I already forgot. But thank you, Drew. Those are good questions. I hope I answered them to your satisfaction. I guess you probably got the idea that I don't care for anthropomorphic characters. Interesting enough, though, for some reason I ordered Beneath the Trees number 2. So I have number 2, but no other numbers, which is very odd. And it's worth money, so maybe I should just sell that thing. Yeah. So then I'm gonna take a pause for the cause and get some more water and then calculate some totals and I'll be right back. All right, let's get back to this. It should be short here because this was near my vacation in February and I didn't read a lot. So start with the movies. There are 3 out of 5. I watched a movie called Night Train. That was a story about a woman whose son is real sick, and she like races cars, like kind of like Fast and Furious, but she races her truck against the cars, and then takes the money and tries to do that as a side job, but she's kind of like a roadie for Hollywood. In other words, when they're filming in this certain area, she cleans the trailers and picks up the trash and stuff like that. But she drives this truck and she meets with this illegal guy to get medication for her kid and finds out that they're going to cut off her supply because the police are cracking down on it. And she decides to drive the drugs herself just so she could keep her kid alive. It was pretty good. I mean, I enjoyed it. I don't remember where I watched that, but it probably was Hulu or Amazon Prime. The 4 out of 5s were Dangerous Waters and Freelance, which were better than Night Train. But God damn it, I don't remember them. Oh, oh God, I'm old. Let me see what Freelance is. Let's go to IMDb just to refresh my memory. Free Lance. There's a couple. Oh, Freelance. Okay, this one was rated as one of the worst movies ever, but I enjoy John Cena. I really do. And I thought this movie was just a hell of a lot of fun. It's about this mercenary guy who stopped being a mercenary because his team and friends died during a setup. And later on, he's hired by Christian Slater to go on a mission to re protect a reporter who's interviewing a guy that's a dictator in South America, I think it is. And it's just fun shenanigans, and it really is a cool movie. I liked it a lot. It goes to show like how many people hate stuff. Like, let's see what IMDb gave this. A 5 out of 5, 5.5 out of 10. I thought it was like a 7 or 8 for sure out of 10. I enjoyed myself. I thought Alison Brie was really good in it, and the guy who played Juan Pablo Raba, oh God, he's fantastic. He's the best part of the movie. So that's Freelance. I couldn't remember the title though for the life of me. Dangerous Waters. Let me see which one this one is. I know it's not the shark one, because that's like black something. Danger. Oh, I think I remember what this one is. This one doesn't really star anybody big. It has a guest appearance of Ray Liotta, probably right before he died or close to it. But what this is a story of a mother and daughter, and the mother starts dating this guy who's like a corrupt cop. And they go on a boating incident, and he gets hijacked by the guys that sort of that he was a bad cop, I guess, with or doing drugs and stuff. And they kill the mother, and the daughter survives. The bad cop gets beaten to shit, but she saves him, and it turns out he's a bad guy, and Ray Liotta's the bad guy, but. It's a you have to see it. It's pretty good. This movie got a 5.2 out of 10. I would say well, I gave it a 4 out of 5. So there you go. So listen to me or listen to all the other people. Okay, so then we got a total of 19 comics. I'm gonna say one Whatnot. That's like Whatnot slash Massive slash Samaritan slash whatever the fuck they are. There's like so many companies within the Whatnot framework, Massive or whatever they're called. I'm just gonna call them Whatnot. There was one Rebel, three Marvel, four Image, one Fantagraphics, one DC, one Dark Horse, three Blood Moon, and four Antarctic Press. We'll start with the 3 out of 5. We had Witchblade number 19 from Image Comics. This was when Sarah has lost the Witchblade. The Witchblade is sort of now on Ian Nottingham's arm, and she's powerless, at least for this issue. It's actually lasts more than one issue where she's powerless. And she tries to go back to just being a detective, and it sort of an awkward situation because she's like missing. It's like Eddie Brock missing the Venom, you know. It's like I've lost a piece of me. We got the 4 out of 5 is Planet Comics 17 through 19. That's that anthology that I enjoy. I didn't write any notes on it because I don't usually take notes on the anthologies. I just sit back and enjoy the stories unless there's something specific I want to talk about. We have Hack Slash Back to School. This is sort of like Casey Hack going to the School of Monster Hunters, which is like an early take on her career when Vlad is there, and it's an awkward situation because none of the girls in this girl killer squad want anything to do with the man. Like Vlad. It's kind of weird. It's Zoe Thorogood. As a purist of Hack Slash, I didn't enjoy it because it felt like out of what I know Hack Slash to be. But as if I rewind that, and I'm not a Hack Slash purist, and I'm just enjoying Zoe Thorogood because I think she's very talented. I did enjoy it, so I gave it a 4 out of 5. Gods Against Gru number 3. That Gru's Gru. He eats cheese. He wants to fight everybody, and he causes everybody a heartache. But it's just so much fun. And Sergio just puts so much rendering in there. If you just like, you could get lost in his page just looking at all the bodies and stuff that are there. King Spawn 29 and 30. This is the Road to Hell. And I think this one focused on Wanda and him walking in, getting ready for the final confrontation where we're going to determine the new King of Hell. Hexpaw, I kind of mentioned that with Drew's question. Hexpaw It's a beautifully drawn comic with an interesting story written and drawn by Trevor Marquardt from Blood Moon Comics, but it was way better. I liked it a lot. And I didn't think I was going to like that one. I didn't even think I got it when Bill put it on our list to read. I was like, I didn't get that one because it's anthropomorphic. But I did, and I liked it. It's like I say, I don't really like fantasy, but then I read Edgewood and I like fantasy and I read fantasy comics and I like fantasy. So I guess there's like certain genres that I don't go like, gotta get that, gotta get that. There's certain genres that I get into, but it takes some teeth pulling to get me into it, I guess. We got Distemper one, number one. I really like this one. I don't think we've seen a number two yet. But distemper wiped out most of humanity, and a small group tries to survive in a crazy world. It's distemper, the dog's disease that sort of wiped out humanity. It's well done for fans of Walking Dead. It's Blood Moon Comics. And no, I'm not a spokesman for the group, but I love reading their comics. We got Adventures of Planet of the Apes. The nephew breaks the humans out of prison to go to the Forbidden Zone. That was number five of Adventures of the Planet of the Apes. This I don't own all the physical copies of. I own maybe five issues out of the 11. I read this in the omnibus, which was the most expensive omnibus I've ever bought for 11 issues. But God damn, it was good. And I didn't realize what it was, 'cause I might not have bought it if I knew that I already had it. And what I didn't realize is that the Planet of the Apes magazine was the same as the content in the Adventures on the Planet of the Apes. So they colorized it. So what I had the black and white Boom collection of all the Planet of the Apes. And I read it in color. So I haven't read those black and white magazines yet, collected editions. I do have Planet of the Apes number one, both the colorized and the magazine from Marvel Comics. What else we got? Haunted House, a love story. This was really good. It's a Haunted House from Blood Moon Comics. But this is weird because it's the house that falls in love with the person who built it. So it's weird because some of it's told through the house's perspective, and you see the house's jealousy of other people, like lovers of this guy. This guy has another lover that he has that comes to visit him at the house, and the house is jealous of that lover and tries to kill him and persuade him to leave. So it's very interesting. We got Scooby-Doo number 37 from DC Comics. It's an excellent issue of Scooby-Doo, which had a bee's story and a witch pitch, which was a witch haunting a baseball pitcher's mound. These Scooby-Doo stories are fucking fantastic. I am big. I think they're fantastic comics. I don't own that one. I own that. I read that digitally. We got New Warriors number four. It's the New Warriors versus Gentech and Cynex. Gentech is the organization that's going after the New Warriors because they want them. It seems like they either want to get them to work for the organization or capture them. It's kind of they hire, who do they hire? That comes up in another issue. Oh man, it's like a the Thinker. I think it's the Thinker or the Mad Thinker. I don't remember who it is, but they hire him to bring in the new warriors or to find more about them, and I think that's in the upcoming issue. We got Fantastic Four 143. The FF no longer are together. It seems like that's a common theme with Fantastic Four, you know, they're together and then they're separated and everybody's mad at Reed. That storyline's even in the present storyline. But with the class reunion, Dr. Doom traps Reed and Medusa. You realize it's Dr. Doom behind this, but you don't know who it is before. It's kind of a mystery. Later captured Torch and is going to release a bomb where he can take mind control over everyone. Darkoath frees Reed, Thing, and Medusa. Darkoath is a big purple monster with a tail that Doom has sort of under his control until he doesn't. And I guess Darkoath didn't like Doom telling him what to do. So yeah, that was 4 out of 5. We get into the 5 out of 5s. We have Faust number 8. M sends Claire and Mr. Happy to get Jade. Jade is attacked by her husband, and Faust does not like that one bit. The cop and reporter show up at Claire, and Mr. Happy takes Jade. So now Jade's under the control of M and Claire. Interstellar Dust is a sci-fi adventure from Antarctic Press. 5 out of 5. I've absolutely loved this. We read a version of this in another Antarctic anthology, and this is like a new one. And I just can't tell you how much I love about it. It's the art, it's the sci-fi-ness of the stories. Original to me, and the characters I actually care about. So, like, I really like Interstellar Dust. Zorro, Man of the Dead. The story, I love me some Zorro for one thing, but just finished the Amazon Prime story, and now I had this Zorro. And the Man of the Dead was fantastic because it's a modern take on the character that happens in the world where cars and stuff are going on, and this guy sort of raises the grandson to be the a new Zorro, and he loses his father, and his sister gets separated from him, and he becomes like a new Zorro. But it's an amazing story, and I'd highly recommend it. It's by Sean M Murphy, Sean something Murphy. He's very popular, but I don't remember his middle name. We got Red Room Crypto Killers, number 4, and this is the brutal origin of the Sarah Jane Payne. It was really good. I liked it as the finale. It was pretty cool. So the 5 out of 5s were Faust number 8, Interstellar Dust, Zorro Man of the Dead, and Red Room Crypto Killers. That was from February 5th to February 11th. We're going to talk about books from February 12th through February 18th, and there was two movies I watched on the plane. I watched Caveman, and I watched on the Malone. I watched Malone on the way to Hawaii until they got to a strip scene. No, I watched all of Malone on the plane. There was another movie I started watching that had a strip club scene, and I had to turn it down. But Caveman is Ringo Starr. I've seen it like at least 10 times. I love the movie. But it's a comedy about cavemen, and they don't talk the whole movie. They just grunt, and they have words for, like, Zug Zug is fucking. Like, food has its own term. Lana is the beautiful woman that Atuk is after. Atuk is the caveman played by Ringo Starr. And there's a big gnarly guy that's the leader of the cavemen. And Shelley Long is in it, and she falls in love with a Atuk. But he doesn't love her back because he wants Lana. So that's Caveman. Then Malone is a Burt Reynolds movie. I've been trying to watch as many Burt Reynolds movies as I can. But there's not a lot on streaming right now, so I switched to James Bond. I went from Charles Bronson movies to James Bond. No, I went from Charles Bronson to Burt Reynolds and then James Bond. And I saw most of the Charles Bronson movies. I still probably have a couple to watch because he's in so many. He's very prolific. But I must have seen at least 20 Charles Bronson films in 2023 and 2024. So there's only one comic that I read that week, is Scooby-Doo number 48, The Mayan Aztec Mystery. This time the villain was doing it to save a jaguar habitat. Sounds like the latest jaguar comic I just read. Also, we visit Velma's cousin in the haunted ascot. That little scarf thing. Ascot? I don't know how to pronounce it. But I always picture Nick Wetmore to wear one. And Bob Franz always wears one. If you ever go to a convention, see Bob Franz, he has an ascot. I don't know how to, is it Asco or Ascot? I don't know. But that was 4 out of 5, and that was the week of February 12th to February 18th. I was in Hawaii that week. I didn't read any comics. You think I'd say, well, what about night? Well, I was so tired from everything that happened during the day, I was out of it. When I was on vacation, I just didn't feel like reading. I had my iPad. I could have. I just was doing a lot of activities. So that wraps up 2 weeks. Still quite a ways behind, but we're catching up, and I'm keeping good pace. So thank you for listening. Thank you for all the questions. They were a lot of fun. I do have coming up, I'm going to be going over the Death of Superman advance previews so we could see what was happening in the world of comics around the Death of Superman. And sorry about that cough. But you can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. Send me email on Twitter, X, and Blue Sky at Mike Myers Brunch. You can send me questions there at Mike Myers Brunch. That's Mike, MYERS, Brunch. You can send me questions there, and I bookmark them, save them, and save them for the show. You can go to geekbrunchpodcast.com, follow the episodes there, or on Facebook, Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button, follow all the episode threads there. You can get us off of any feed catcher or make your own feed catcher if you want. And just look for the RSS and put it in there, and you'll subscribe to Geek Brunch. So thank you for listening, and enjoy your comics. See you next time. Bye.